Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Happy New Year! I know you're all looking at me crazy, but Happy New Year, Advent, which means coming, begins our Christian year. This is the Christian New Year. We may think that Advent focuses on the coming of the babe in the manger, and that will start to happen in the third week. Yet when we start the Christian New Year, we focus not on the coming of the babe, but on the second coming of the Pantocrator, Christ the King. This is the creed's, "He shall come again with glory." The Eucharist's, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." And they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, which we see in our gospel today and talked about some last week. This is how the apostles saw Jesus taken up to heaven, on the clouds at the end of the Gospel of Luke and at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Jesus was taken up into heaven, just like the scriptures tell us that Enoch in Genesis chapter 3 was assumed into heaven, and like Elijah was in 1 Kings with the chariots of fire. The return of Christ will be like this assumption into heaven, but in reverse. We will see him on clouds descending, as our gospel says. This return, this second coming, has several implications for the way that we live our life and how we worship. First of all, Mark's gospel reports our Lord saying that after he comes on the clouds, he will send out angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. And that's just before this passage that I read today. It's at chapter 13, verse 27. Gathering from the ends of the earth is easy enough to understand. We will be gathered by the angels. What I'm about to say is not a teaching, but I'm hoping it means that our guardian angels will appear to us and sweep us away to meet the Lord. Nonetheless, it means that there are, meaning there exist, angels. Now, this passage means that angels exist and they are not humans who die, go to heaven spiritually to get their wings. And as much as I love It's a Wonderful Life, which I do and I watch every year, this is not what is true about angels. Angels do not get their wings when a bell rings. Sorry. And even when the cash register rings. They have them already when they were created. Angels have their wings when they were created. If angels were the souls and spirits of humans who got their wings, they would not be sent to gather us from the heavens, as this passage from the Gospel of Mark says. We would already be angels. There would be no gathering in the heavens of humans. We would die and become them or be transformed into angels at the second coming. This would mean that the whole enterprise of Jesus coming and dying on the cross and rising again wasn't to save us, but to transform us into angels. Angels are their own person in their own right, and they deserve our respect. So, you know, we think of angels like this. But they're really more like this. I had a student one time ask me, at Benedictine University when I was the campus minister there if it was okay to say that angels were holy badass. And I said, absolutely. Because they're strong and they're mighty. So anyway, that's an aside. But so right here in the Gospel of Mark, we see what the creed says when it says, he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. Watch. Here we have an agreement with the vision of St. John in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, beginning verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. Whoa. And the sea gave up the dead in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead in them. And all were judged by what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Here is the question. When will the resurrection of the dead be? The answer? There will be a bodily resurrection at the second coming of Christ. So, the second coming means Jesus is coming on the clouds in bodily form from heaven. We often forget that he resurrected and ascended into heaven in a bodily form. He's sitting at the right hand of God in a bodily form. There is a human being in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, gathering all of our prayers, and delivering them to the Father. Angels then are gathering everyone who believes to greet him when he comes again. Believers in heaven, as well as those on earth. The church triumphant will be gathered, and we will be raised with our bodies. So says St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 54. In verse 52, he says, we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Then, when this perishable body puts on imperishability, this mortal body puts on immortality. Let's think about that. We understand that those who have gone to paradise to await the resurrection of the dead, the second coming, will be reunited with their bodies. And we will all have the same type of body as Jesus, a resurrected body whose physical properties have been spiritualized, have been moved beyond physics, beyond the rules of this world, because those bodies are prepared for heaven and for the new heaven and the new earth. We will be renewed along with the heaven and the earth. We will be like we were in the Garden of Eden, yet without the chance of evil, suffering, pain, mourning, and we shall see the face of God and live forever. Love that. So we start our new year, our Christian new year, measuring the tower, figuring out the costs, so that we know exactly why we will begin this yearly pilgrimage from Advent to Christmas, Christmas to ordinary time to Lent, Lent to Holy Week to Pentecost, Pentecost to Trinity Sunday to the Feast of Corpus Christi, from Corpus Christi to ordinary time to Christ the King, and then we'll start it all over again. We begin our new year anticipating an end to the struggle of being human. I don't know about you, but being human and being alive is hard. I don't know who ever told us that it was easy, but it's hard. It is suffering that the Son of God condescended to take on so that he could perfect our suffering. Let us know that we are not alone and that someday, one day, he would come to renew heaven and earth. He will come to renew heaven and earth to judge evil diseases like COVID-19. He will come to judge poverty and condemn it. He will come to judge prejudice in any form and condemn it. He will come and judge objectification of humans as the other and condemn it. He will come and judge death and condemn it. He will come and judge mourning and rid us of it. He will judge crying and rid us of it. He will come and judge pain and get rid of it. Often when we think of the awe of judgment, we only think of what we have done wrong. When the Christian message, the message of Christ on this first Sunday of Advent, is that he will gather those who are weary from this hard life and bring us peace, everlasting peace, in bodily form. It is the peace that we seek to live as citizens of heaven here on earth. Yet it will be lived without the hateful things and hateful people who choose to do wrong and not to do right to us and to our loved ones and to the downtrodden of the world. Yet it will be lived without all of the hateful things. Sure, we pray for their repentance now. Just this past week, I sent a tweet to Elon Musk, inviting him to accept Jesus Christ into his life and to become a Christian and to lay down his life and embrace the true riches of life, which is to serve God and not money. Seriously, I did. But at a certain time, all the people that we pray for who do things that they shouldn't be doing, the Lord will come on the clouds, and it will be time. Time for our eternal glory with his eternal glory. It will be time for our eternal rest with his eternal rest. I don't know about you, but I say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And all of this is why we do not live like the world lives, with its transactional nature and reciprocity. We do not do for others as they did to us. Rather, we do for them as we would have them do for us. We do this because we are the people who have hope. The hope of the second coming, the resurrection of the dead. We do not mourn death as others who have no hope, because we know that we will be raised from the dead, gathered from the four corners of the earth, reunited with our souls, and transformed to live forever with God in his glory. And we're going to be surprised by who it is with whom we will spend eternity if we are blessed enough to have our names written in the book of life. We know that there will be a time when death, mourning, crying, and pain shall be no more, and that he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. So we face death not with abject sorrow, but with an infectious joy and hope. This is why the one who's going to judge his faithful says this to us: watch. He says it twice. He says it twice because he wants us to be there. Think about that. We always talk about our faith and about God in such a way like he doesn't want us to be there. Yeah, I created the heavens and the earth, and I put these humans in that are just like in my image and likeness. But you know what? I want to stomp on them. No, that's not the message. It's like you having children just to be awful to them. That's not why we do that. He doesn't want us to miss it. In the entire section from which our gospel reading is taken, we see the Lord telling us to not get caught up in the wars, the anxiety, and the hate which we will endure, and the hate in society. He tells us to keep our eyes on the clouds. Look up. Put all of life in the context of his second coming and the judgment. He wants us to watch so that we do not miss the second coming and its judgment. He wants us to treasure this hope and the coming judgment. St. John says in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 17, in this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is so are we in this world. Love is perfected in us, brothers and sisters, when we have confidence in the day of judgment. It is not confidence in ourselves, because we're sinful. We are the root of the evil which besets us in this life. Oh, Lord, save me from myself. No, our confidence is not in us, but it's in the God of love, who invites us all to accept his loving plan of salvation for the world as their plan. He invites us to put all life in the context of his coming, the second coming, and his judgment. It is, after all, evil that has been judged, so that we can finally have peace. It is this peace and this hope, the hope of judgment and the second coming, which we celebrate every Sunday at our weekday masses when I'm in my chapel. It is this hope which leads us to keep our bodily remains together in anticipation of reuniting our souls with our renewed bodies, so that we do not put the Lord to the test. I do not advocate sprinkling of ashes. I do not judge anybody who's done it. But this is why we keep our remains together. It is this hope that causes us to be buried facing east in the cemeteries, because he is said to be coming from the east. It is this hope in the second judgment and in the judgment and the second coming that causes us to not be surprised by the pain and suffering of this life, but to accept what is now but will not be forever. It is the hope in the judgment and the second coming that gives us the strength to turn the other cheek, knowing that the Lord will have our back and there will be an accounting. In Proverbs this morning, in my private devotional, I'll have to get the verse, but basically what it said is, don't take revenge, wait, and let the Lord do it with you. It is this hope in the judgment and second coming that allows us to drop our resentment and anger, because we know there will be a day when it just doesn't matter. So all the viruses and to all the viruses and the pandemics, I say, come, Lord Jesus. To all the economic difficulties, I say, come, Lord Jesus. To all the pettiness of my coworkers and my family, I say, come, Lord Jesus. To the hardship caused by the bad decisions I've made in my life, I say, come, Lord Jesus. To all racial strife, the painful objectification of others, I say, come, Lord Jesus. To the suffering of death, mourning, and pain, I say, come, Lord Jesus. For the day when we will be free of sin, I say, come, Lord Jesus. For the day when we will be renewed better than we were in the Garden of Eden, we say, come, Lord Jesus, for the time that when we will not have to deal with all kinds of people playing the fool, we say, come, Lord Jesus, for the times when we will not have to deal with rudeness and crudeness and the incivility of people who are supposed to be acting like humans, we say, come, Lord Jesus, to the folly of death, which thinks that it has a hold on us, we say, come, Lord Jesus, to the folly of pain, suffering, and mourning that think that they can get us down, we say, come, Lord Jesus, for the time when we will be free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last, we say, come, Lord Jesus, when we sing his praises and the love one and love one another without any threat of sin, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.